Turn, if you would, please, in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. We'll read verse 1 through verse 4. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up unto paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Several months ago, it came into my heart to preach unto you about heaven. So I decided to look up every verse in the Bible which contains the word heaven or heavens. And upon review of the hundreds of verses that are on this topic, I concluded that I will offer my findings to you in two sections. My method was to read every verse and then collate the similar passage. And in our study, we will not look at, nor will we read every verse. And I have, for convenience, listed a good number of references on the outline that's in your bulletin. But again, not every verse will be listed there. I've also chosen to introduce this subject with our text. Therefore, it is my objective to define heaven based upon the depiction found in our verse, which is verse 2. And next week, the Lord willing, I will attempt to give a description of heaven. But verse 2, the Apostle Paul says at the end of the verse, such a one is caught up to the third heaven. So I want to talk to you about heaven today, and the title of my message is The Third Heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for those who are here, and we ask that you would just speak to our hearts by your Spirit, and Lord, help us to be instructed, that we'd have a correct understanding of what heaven is. And Lord, we pray that you would bless, that if there's any here today that is lost, that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus. We ask that you would grant repentance and faith, that Lord, they might be saved. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation you've given to us, rejoice in the fact that we have a home in heaven. And so again, we ask that you would direct us as we study about that today. And Lord, we honor you, we commit this time to you, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Thinking from our passage today about the third heaven. Now let me, if I may, give you a brief overview. And in doing so, I want to give you a few thoughts concerning the context. Our text, our passage which we have read, follows Paul's response to those who boast of privileges. And you can look back into chapter 11. Because in chapter 11, he compares his privileges to theirs, and he pretty much finds an equality. And you can glance at verse 21 and verse 22. But then after that, he surpasses them in Christian service. And he'll discuss that. So from verse 23 down through the end of the chapter, in chapter 11, you find a listing of his sufferings and his afflictions. So then coming into chapter 12, he touches on visions and revelations as you glance at verse 1. But then we come to our text and he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one's caught up to the third heaven. Now what we see in this verse is Paul makes reference to a man in Christ. Practically everybody sees this as Paul referring to himself. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's talking about his own experience, and that happened 14 years ago. If Paul wrote around 59 AD, that makes it around 44, 45 AD in which this experience had come about. But then he also mentions in the text, we see in the parentheses there, well, in the body I cannot tell, out of the body I cannot tell. I mean, Paul just really wasn't sure of his actual state, of his condition. Had he been taken up into heaven in a glorified body and was able to experience these things, or was he just a disembodied spirit and went to heaven and experienced these things? He just really did not know. But what he did know was that last phrase, and what we're concerned about, is that such a one, Paul says, I was caught up to the third heaven. And so you understand he's talking about the third heaven. As we read in the beginning in verse 4, that place was called paradise. He went into paradise. And while he was there, he heard spiritual things, so much so he wasn't even allowed to share those things with others. And what's he concerned with? Well, once again, if you look back at verse 1, he's referring to the visions and revelations. And so Paul went up to the third heaven and heard visions and revelations and visions and saw things and heard things that he just wasn't allowed to share. So what we have in the Bible tells us about the third heaven. And so we understand biblically there are three heavens. One of the commentators stated this: the Jews sometimes speak of seven heavens, and Muhammad has borrowed this idea from the Jews. But the Bible speaks of but three heavens. And among the Jews in the apostolic ages, also the heavens were divided into three. Number one, the aerial, including the clouds and the atmosphere, the heavens above us until we come to the stars. Number two, the starry heavens, the heavens in which the sun, moon, and stars appear to be situated. Number three, the heavens beyond the stars. That heaven was supposed to be the residence of God, of angels, and of Holy Spirits. Another commentator said, in the sacred writings, three heavens only are mentioned. The first is the atmosphere, and appears to be intended by the words firmament or expansion. The second, the starry heaven, where the sun, moon, planets, and stars. But these two are often expressed under the one Hebrew term, Shemayim. And the third, the place of the blessed, or the throne of the divine glory, probably expressed by the words, the heaven of heavens. Yet another commentator said, this is called the third heaven, in respect to the airy and starry heavens. There was a distinction among the Jews where they had it as the supreme heaven, the middle heaven, and the lower heaven. And yet one more commentator said, the first heaven is that of the clouds, or the air, the second that of the stars, the sky, and the third is the spiritual. And so I think we can see very clearly that the general consensus is there are three heavens. And one is our atmosphere. The second is this, where the stars reside, the planets and so forth, what we call our universe. And then where God resides. By the way, that's the outline for my message today. And I want to prove to you from the scriptures that these three places exist. And so we will talk about our atmosphere for just a few moments. We will talk about the universe for just a few moments. And then we're going to talk about the heaven of heavens, where God dwells, and we'll spend the remainder of our time right there. Turn, if you would, back to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. The first heaven I would like to mention unto you, if God is in the third heaven, if we work backwards, then it would be our atmosphere. And so, the first heaven is our atmosphere. Again, I'm going to give you just a few examples. There are many more verses that are listed in the Scripture than what I'm going to give to you, and just don't have time to read the Bible to you. You can do that on your own. But I just want to give you some examples. I will invite you to turn to some, and I will read the others unto you. And hopefully you'll just get an understanding and embrace the idea how the Bible describes these three heavens. First of all, the atmosphere. I've asked you to Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, and the moving creature that hath life. And notice, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament in heaven. See that? Down in chapter 11 of the book of Deuteronomy, it says, but the land, whither you go to possess it, is a land of hills and valleys, and drinks water of the rain of heaven. Where do the birds fly? They fly into heaven. They fly in our atmosphere. Where does the rain come from? It comes from our atmosphere, doesn't it? In the book of Isaiah, it says, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Where's the snow come from? It comes from heaven. Now, none of us would assume that it comes from the stars and the planets, and it makes its long journey here, and then it rains and it snows. None of us believe that the birds are going to fly outside of our atmosphere. They don't do it, do they? And so we understand that the Scripture speaks about the first heaven as being our atmosphere. Look at the second heaven, which is a reference to the universe. Again, there are so many verses in the Scripture that talk about that. There's just no reason to list them abundantly for you. But think about the universe. Once again, a few examples and more verses than what I'm going to give to you. there in chapter 1 of the book of Genesis. You're certainly welcome to look at this if you want in verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. But look at verse 14 particularly, Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And so what are those signs? They're not in our atmosphere. They're beyond our atmosphere. Look at verse 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And I didn't bother to look to see what the moon phase is. But tonight, if you look up and the sky is clear enough, whether or not you know, the moon is there. And it's a secondary light upon the earth. The sun is there. We see the sunlight coming in these windows. And God has set the firmament, the lights in the firmament, didn't He? Genesis chapter 1, verse 17, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. 15, verse 5 of Genesis, and He brought him abroad, forth abroad. He speaks to Abraham, and He says, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, or count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And He said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And every one of us can go out tonight and look up. If the sky is clear, if our atmosphere is clear, and look beyond and see the stars. And we know about our universe, don't we? Turn to Deuteronomy 4, please. Deuteronomy 4. Look at verse 19. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. And so we see a clear description there. And the context is speaking about not worshiping false gods and idols and things like that. But the idea is, where do you find the sun? Where do you find the moon? Where do you find the stars? They're in the heavens, aren't they? And so the first heaven is what? Our atmosphere. The second heaven is the universe. And the scientists and the astronomers, they're seeing more and more of it and all that. Well, that's a great expanse out there, isn't there? Innumerable number of stars out there. I tell you, the heavens are the stars, the moon, and the sky. But what about that third heaven? We've seen number one. We've seen number two. Again, we'll take the rest of our time defining the third heaven. I submit unto you, the third heaven is where God dwells. That's really just a simple explanation, and we're going to offer some great biblical proof for you, as with the others. Many more verses could be listed to you. I just give you a few. And I've broken this down. I've given you 10 sections, or 10 subsections, if you will, on where God dwells. And we find that through the Scripture. And you can look at that if you follow along on the outline in the bulletin. So first of all, when I think about where God dwells, the Bible tells us that it's called the heaven of heavens. Well, that only makes sense. If there's three heavens and God dwells, where is He going to dwell? He's going to dwell in the third heaven. But yet the Bible also tells us that even the third heaven cannot contain Him. God is so magnificent. But notice Deuteronomy chapter 10. You're just a few pages off from that. Turn over there. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And notice verse 14. And notice this phrase, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also, with all that is therein. And so you find that God is mentioned in reference to the heaven and the heaven of heavens. Also in Psalm 115, it says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men. By the way, if you think about that for just a moment, do you really believe that we're going to be having star travel and envelop the stars under this present economy, such as you see on Star Trek and all that futuristic kind of thing, when He says, you know what, the heavens are God's and the earth is man's? You ought to think about that. I don't know that we'll ever get there and we'll ever populate the universe as our theorists would offer us to believe. But what we find is heaven, that third heaven is the place where God dwells. That third heaven is the heaven of heavens. In 1 Kings it says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have builded. Not only do we find in the scripture a statement about the heaven of heavens, we also find in the second sense how that God resides in heaven. And so although I made reference to the heaven of heavens and we didn't see specific text talking about God living there, well, there are so many that offer that. Go back to Deuteronomy 4 once again. Deuteronomy 4. And look at verse 39. It says, "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else." God is God in heaven above and on the earth. Listen, if you will, 2 Chronicles 20. And he said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" Again, Job said, "Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the height of the stars and how high they are." Well, the third heaven is beyond the stars, beyond the universe. And Job makes references. See the height of the stars? And is not God in the height of heaven? Beyond it out there somewhere, beyond the blue, God resides in heaven, as the scripture defines for us. Book of Matthew, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Turn, if you would, to Psalm 123. 123rd Psalm. The first verse says, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." God dwells in heaven. So we find the scripture talks about the heaven of heavens. God resides in heaven, but he is also called the God of heaven. And so go to Psalm 136. Few pages over, the 136th Psalm. God is called the God of heaven. Psalm 136, verse 26. "O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever." And Jonah, it says, he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the seas and the dry land." And so just a few examples we find that God is the God of heaven. But we also know that since God resides in heaven, God looks down from heaven. And the scriptures express it in that sense as well. Turn to the 102nd Psalm. But while you turn back to Psalm 102, listen to the 14th Psalm. "I submit unto you that the God looks down from heaven." The scripture says this. Psalm 14:2, "The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and that did and seek God." God looks down from heaven upon the earth. The 33rd Psalm says, "The Lord looketh from heaven and he beholds all the sons of men." There in Psalm 102, where I've asked you to turn, "For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth." So we have three heavens, do we not? The Bible tells us of the atmosphere. He tells us of the universe. Then he tells us of the heaven of heavens. And God dwells in the heaven of heavens. And he looks down from that heaven. And you would expect then that if we pray to God, that God would hear us in heaven, wouldn't you think? Well, absolutely is the case. My fifth sub-point is the matter of how that God hears us in heaven. That phrase in the scripture, "Hear thou in heaven." And the references that I'm going to share with you are out of 1 Kings, and it's when Solomon dedicated the temple unto the Lord. And in that dedication, these things are stated. Listen to the understanding of where God is and how God hears our prayers. In 1 Kings chapter 8, it says, "Then hear thou in heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness." Again it says, "Then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gave unto their fathers." Again, "Then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sins of thy servants and of thy people Israel, and that thou teach the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land which thou hast given to the people for an inheritance." Again, once more, "Then hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. God knows your hearts. You say, but he's in heaven. How does he know me? Because he looks down from heaven and he beholds the children of men. But we can pray unto him and God will hear us from heaven. And of course, you're very familiar with 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so God is spoken of as being in heaven and he hears from heaven. Number 6, there are passages in the scripture which refer to God. And the phrases are from heaven or out of heaven. And so listen, if you will. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 3. I'll give you a head start there. Go to Matthew chapter 3. But listen, just a few examples. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Matthew chapter 3, where I've asked you to turn. Remember when Jesus was baptized? And it says, a low voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, where do you think that voice came from? You think he was in the atmosphere floating around? Or do you think he was up there in the universe? He was calling from some planet? Or did he come from the heaven of heavens, beyond the universe? Well, I believe it's the place where God dwells, the heaven of heavens. And so when Jesus was baptized, the voice came all that great distance and came to this earth. And this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God resides in heaven. In John it says, Jesus said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. In 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks of the first man is of the earth and earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Where did Jesus come from? He came from heaven. He didn't come from some a planet out there. He's not some extraterrestrial that just happened to show up on this earth. And, you know, they have a lot on the television at History Channel about extraterrestrials and how they visited our planet and all that kind of stuff. You know what? God is the one that's out there. And Jesus came from heaven and he came to earth. And then in John chapter 12, again, the scripture says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. You see, God is spoken of in reference to God from heaven. Things come from him, and he's in heaven. But then further, referring to God, the scripture gives us many references about being unto heaven or to or into heaven. Now, why would that be if God wasn't there? And so, listen to Mark chapter 16. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Where do you think Jesus is right now? He's at the right hand of God. Where is that? Well, that's in heaven. Well, it has to be the third heaven. He's not in the first heaven, and he's not in the second heaven. So he's in the third heaven, isn't he? And he's sitting at the right hand of God. In the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 11, it says, when Jesus was ascended, he says, you men of Galilee, the angel spoke and said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? They were looking up into the atmosphere, up into the stars. He said, this same Jesus which is taken up unto you into heaven, and he just ascended up out of their sight, right? Shall so come in like manner as you've seen him gone into heaven. Now their visual only went so far, but Jesus didn't stop in the atmosphere and he didn't stop in the universe. He went to the right hand of the Father. All the way up, just ascended right on up out of our atmosphere, past the moon and past the sun, and off he went. And he's in the third heaven. And book of Acts chapter 7, remember when Stephen was killed, it says that in verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Stephen saw into heaven, and he did it without the Hubble telescope. And he did it without any other extra means. God allowed him to see from this earth to the third heaven, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand. And so the Bible tells us that when you speak of God, there are many references unto heaven or to or into heaven. But then again, there are some other references that I've listed, and I have just three left that I want to share with you, and that is that God is in heaven or he's from or out of heaven. Listen, if you will, to Psalm 11. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try, the children of men. Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. Do you desire God in heaven? Then we find there's a reference in the scripture about toward when you think of being toward God, toward heaven, it's toward God. And I just give you one verse reference to this. Of course, there are many others. And this is out of Daniel in chapter 4. And at the end of my days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that lived forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. What did Nebuchadnezzar say? He said, I lifted up my eyes in heaven. Who did he bless? He blessed God. Because that's where God lives. God dwells in heaven, which is in the third heaven. But then finally, my tenth subpoint is about the scriptures divining for us that God dwells in heaven. That's the third heaven. Is that the heavens were opened. Are you still there in Matthew? If not, you want to look at Matthew chapter 3. I had mentioned to you about, in reference to Jesus' baptism, and the voice came from heaven. Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 16. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. We saw a reference a moment ago about Stephen looking into heaven. And the Bible tells us on a number of references that the heavens were opened. Listen to 1 Kings. He said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Well, how did he see that unless it was opened up to him? And again, Stephen, it says in the scripture, behold, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now, I know that I've given you a great number of references. And if I should ask you to turn to all of them, it would have just wore you out. That wasn't the intent. What I've intended for you today to see is that on a very firm, foundational, biblical ground, you know what? The Bible tells us about heaven. And the Bible tells us there is the third heaven. What's that first one? You remember. It's our atmosphere. It's where the birds fly. It's where the rain comes down. It's where the snow comes from. It's where the jets go through. That's the first heaven. That's our atmosphere. The Bible tells us there's a second heaven, which is the starry universe, where the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets and all those nebulae and all those things out there exist. That's the second heaven. But the Bible also makes it very clear that there is a third heaven. How do we define that third heaven? All we can really declare is that it's called the heaven of heavens, and it's where God dwells. That's really just the best definition we can give to it. And I do believe with all my heart there are three heavens. And I do believe that God dwells, and we speak of it in that sense, in the third heaven. So what I submit unto you today is I'm looking at just a portion of these verses, and we'll look at the rest of them next time as we attempt to describe heaven. But our text said that Paul was called up to the third heaven, and it was called paradise. And I've offered many verses as proof to that. I want you to know that heaven is real. A lot of people don't believe it. They just don't think it's true. They don't think there is such a thing called a heaven. But heaven is real. I also submit unto you that God is real. And God, if I may say, resides in heaven. That's the biblical description which we have. Now, do you believe that there is a true God of the universe? Do you believe that He exists? Or would you be what would be defined as an atheist? You don't believe in the existence of God. Well, my friend, the Bible is very, very clear that God exists. And where does He exist? Well, I know that the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him. But the Bible defines it as Him residing in heaven. And God being real, resides in heaven, means that heaven is real. But as I finish today, I also want to submit unto you that Jesus, God's Son, left heaven to come to earth to die for sinners. Now think of that. As the Bible describes, the three heavens, Jesus Christ left that third heaven and left. There came all the way to here for fallen man. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ is alone the Savior. There is no other Savior. There is no other God. God's Son left heaven, came to earth, took Himself a human body. He was crucified on the cross as a sinner, though He never sinned. And He gives eternal life to all who believe. I'll tell you today, every one of us here are sinners. Now the distinction is, are you a saved sinner or a lost sinner? Have you been forgiven of your sin? Or are you still under the wrath and condemnation of God? You say, it really doesn't matter to me. It better matter to you, because there is a God, and there is a God who resides in heaven. And there are two destinies the Bible speaks of, heaven or hell. And you're going to one of those two places when you pass from this life. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You're not going to get to heaven by your good works. You're not going to get to heaven by your religion. You're not going to get to heaven by living a good life. None of these things can get you there. Jesus, who left heaven, came to earth, is your only access. He is the door to the fold. And only Jesus can bring you to heaven. Would you believe in heaven, that it's real? Would you believe in God, that He exists? Would you understand about Jesus, that He alone is the Savior? And would you today repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you trust in Christ? Would you call upon Him? Would you be saved today? Heaven is real, my friend. The Bible talks about the third heaven. And we're going to give a greater description of that next week as we look at some of the other verses. But at this time, I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? Standing as we sing, and the invitation simply is this, right where you are, right where you stand. If God has brought you to a place of conviction, would you repent, believe on the Lord? Would you call upon Him? Would you be saved today? Would you recognize Him as being the God of the universe? Would you believe in Christ? Would you call upon Him? And we who are saved ought to rejoice in the salvation we have in Jesus Christ and know that our future is in heaven, out there beyond the stars. And I look forward to being there one of these days. I pray that God would speak to your heart whatever your need is. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for the privilege of sharing Your Word. And I know that when a number of verses are listed like that, it tends to be cumbersome. And I ask, oh God, that You would just overcome that by Your Spirit. And just speak to every heart here today. And if there's any here that is lost, perhaps they don't even believe in You. Perhaps they don't believe in heaven as the Bible describes. Oh God, we ask that You would open up their heart, illuminate their soul, move by Your Spirit, convict and draw, that the lost might be saved today. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation You've given to us, and that we have a home in heaven, which means we'll reside with You for all eternity. Lord, we look forward to that time. So we ask You to save the lost and strengthen the saved. And we commit it to You. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?